will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, to my knees or will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine.
Welcome, welcome everyone to Open Forum on Wednesday. This is Brain Cleavage and I'm your host, Kara. And today, boy, we have a really interesting program today that you'll be hearing. And if you will all recall, about 2 weeks ago, I did an interview with a couple of people who were on assignment, coming to Colorado to do a spiritual assignment that they've been called to do in many different places. And I'm part of their network. You're part of their network if you're part of the body of Christ, if you believe in Jesus Christ. And we did this assignment over the last, 4 to 5 days now, and we just finished this up. So it's called Welcome the King of Glory. And we're going to talk about what we're just going to debrief about that today. I'm going to share with you what our experience was, what happened, why is it significant, and answer questions. You all are welcome to make phone calls in if you would like to chat with us, if you have insights, if you have questions. And as always, our call-in phone number is 970-587-5171. Again, that's 970-587-5171. And you're welcome to call in. And so I've invited my very good friend, Etheric Dave, to talk with me. I want to just share. It's like we're just going to have coffee with you guys. And I'm going to talk to Dave about this event and what has happened over the course of the last few days. In addition to inviting Dave to sit in and chat with me about this, I have another one of the prayer warriors that was here for this Welcome the King of Glory event. She happens to be still in the area, has not left to go back home yet, and she may jump in with us. She may not. We'll see how she feels. But she's sitting here, and her name is Lori. So, Lori, say something. Let's see if your mic is even on. Just say hi.
Hello.
Yeah, there we go.
Check.
All right. So Lori is on standby and we may put her in the hot seat. Who knows? We'll see. So Dave, are you hooked up with us? Can you hear us? Let's see if we can hear you. Yeah, well, you know, he might have to unmute himself or we might need mic 3 turned on in the control room so we can hear Dave. Etheric Dave.
I broke a bunch of stuff here. I've been trying to fix everything. I've got technical gremlins just running amok, and I'm just right down to the absolute wire, and I don't even have everything prepared. So it is what it is.
That's okay.
But I'm glad to be here.
Good.
Looking forward to hearing about this.
Thank you.
Sounds like you had a wonderful time.
No, we did. And I'm just having fun today because now I see Jason has his son Jack in the control room, and he's learning more about radio all the time. And he was like, okay, did I do something wrong? No. Jason comes in. Jason looks at the board. He's like, no, everything's as it's supposed to be. And he looks at me. And he's like, it's not on our end.
No,
so
Jack,
you're off the hook, Jack. It's not you. But you know what? We just did the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the King of Glory. He just did some really amazing warfare over the state of Colorado, the nation, and even with ramifications throughout the rest of the world. Because of that, sometimes there are some lingering, you know, attacks that happen in the spirit. So because of that, you know, it's not surprising to me, Dave, that you're a little bit spread thin and things weren't quite ready starting. So let's just start this radio broadcast with a prayer. Lord Jesus, we just welcome you to the airwaves of KHNC, the heart of Northern Colorado, the Lion, this morning, and for the rest of after this too. We bind all demonic forces. We will not tolerate any demonic interference. And we loose your Holy Spirit to have his way, to speak what you have, to speak to the people in the KHNC listening audience and beyond in the stream, live streaming and through podcast. These words, they get put on the air and they go on and on and on forever. So we dedicate them to you. We ask your blessing over them and we just honor and laud and adore and glorify the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. So thank you, Lord. We pray these things in your name. Amen. So Dave, you knew about this Welcome the King of Glory event. I told you about it when it was planned. And you've been kind of in the loop, but this is a very spiritual thing. So even though we had Pastor Yuan and Maureen Carson Bravo come on the program and tell a lot of things, it's not something that you just understand immediately sometimes. And it requires that the Lord kind of reveal some of it to you. Some of that will be way, way more clear to people after we talk today. But let's just start, Dave. You're a friend. You're a very good friend. Ask me a question about this or tell me what you understand it to be, whichever way you feel led. This is a reverse interview, by the way. I'm having you interview me, but I'm interviewing you. So it's very, I'm creating something new in the world of radio. Go ahead, Dave.
Okay, well, fantastic. The reverse interview. Wow. Okay. Well, I remember the entire program. I also had some conversations with Pastor Yuan and Maureen off air. I found them both to be very delightful people. Very much.
Now we're getting interrupted, and I want you to just wait now because I don't want these comments to be interrupted any further. So I'm sorry. Hold your thought. We'll be back in 2 minutes, folks. Be right back. All the world over sun, easy to see. People everywhere just want to be free. Listen, please, listen, that's the way it should be. Peace in the valley, people got to be free. Welcome back to Brain Cleavage. I'm Kara, your host. And today, we're talking about Welcome the King of Glory. A Welcome the King of Glory event just happened in Colorado. It happened on Sunday in Colorado Springs, Colorado. But it involves more than just one thing. That was the main event, but it involved many other things. And as we were going to the break, I asked my great friend, Etheric Dave, what is your understanding of what Welcome the King of Glory is? Go ahead, Dave.
Okay, we're back. As I was saying, I found both Pastor Yuan and Maureen quite delightful people, very much in the righteousness of spirit, enjoyed very much meeting them. And I really wished to have been able to be there in person for that because I wanted to do more and be able to participate with you guys because this is something close to my heart. And I was with you in prayer and in spirit. Unfortunately, I was not able to get to Colorado due to a myriad of different things. But remember what you guys were talking about on the last program that you did. But I would just kind of like to hear how the whole thing, went down. You were hosting a bunch of people at the house. They were having a wonderful event for everybody. Uh-huh. And so there's about 1,500 questions.
But okay.
If a Reader's Digest condensed version of how that went down, because I think everybody got there safe. And
all right. We'll give you the blow by blow. Yes. So before I go into that, Dave, I sent you an email and I asked you if you would please look up some scriptures and just be ready to share those if I ask you for them. And one that I don't know if you recorded it, but you could look it up on your, we can look it up here if you don't have it. But I gave you one from 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Do you happen to have that one? Because that's kind of the basis for all of this.
I absolutely do have that one.
Okay, let's start with that.
For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first.
All right. So that is a scripture from 1 Thessalonians that foretells of the second coming of Christ, right? He was here in the flesh. He walked in Galilee. He walked in Nazareth. He walked all over. He even got carried to Egypt for a while when he was a baby. Came back. He did all these things on earth. He was crucified. He shed his blood for our sins. And he was gloriously and miraculously, through the power of God, raised from the dead to cover and be the sacrifice, the final and perfect sacrifice for all of our sins. And after he was resurrected, they say, history even records, more books than just the Bible records, that he saw people. He saw up to 500 people in his glorified body after he was raised. And as he spent time with his disciples, he encouraged them. He told them what would come in the future, which includes messages for us in this day. And he told them he had to go to prepare a place for us. He was going to leave, but he would come again. And they saw him ascend into the clouds and go up into heaven. And he said he was preparing mansions for us, for them, and for all to come after who would accept his sacrifice. And so then this scripture in 1 Thessalonians is Paul telling the Thessalonians what Jesus said and that what would happen. The trumpet of God will sound. The Lord Jesus Christ will come down in the clouds to get his church, those who believe in him. That's what we refer to as the second coming of Christ. Now, I just feel that this is an important thing to mention here is that in the days of Jesus, there were also warnings about this last day. He said, we don't know the day or the hour. We don't know exactly when this is going to happen, when Jesus comes back for his church. But we're always supposed to be praying and watching. And he said we would see it as it's getting closer, we would know. Okay, so we know that it's getting closer. That's why we have prophets from around the world being given visions and being given assignments to do things like herald the coming of Jesus. We know it's going to happen. We just don't know when. We believe it will happen relatively soon. That could be months. It could be a few years. It's probably not going to be decades. But at the time that the Lord was walking this earth and giving these instructions to his disciples, and then before he departed, he said, but be aware, beware. There will be false Christs. There will be false there will be antichrist, spirits of antichrist. Anything that does not testify that Jesus Christ is the Son of God is not of God. It's an antichrist spirit. So he said that in the last days, there would be rumors and people would go around saying, oh, Christ is here. Christ is there. You know, what if this may sound somewhat odd, but not to those who really pay attention to what's going on in the world. It's even possible there could be something that looks like an invasion, perhaps of extraterrestrials or some kind of military invasion. And there may be some supernatural element to it or something that involves, you know, high level artificial intelligence or things that we all don't understand very well in the human, especially lay people. But it could be that those things will be used to deceive people in the end days. And they'll say, oh, I heard Jesus already came back. I heard he's here or he's there. But the point is, when Jesus does come back, anyone who's a believer who has accepted his gift of salvation and proclaimed him as Lord of their life, they will know instantly and they will see him instantly. He won't have to go looking for him. So I feel that was an important warning. So that's kind of a good introduction to what is this assignment and this event that we had. Welcoming the King of Glory. He is coming back to get his church, and we don't know when. We don't know if we're going to suffer a lot first. We don't know if he's just going to, I mean, there's all these theories, but it doesn't matter. We just accept that Jesus is coming back, and he has instructed certain people who are hearing from the Lord, and then they have confirmation. They don't just walk out there like a Lone Ranger. And in this day, you can make a joke out of that and say, who is that masked man? Ha ha. That's just a little joke God gave me the other day. Anyway, no, we don't have Lone Rangers. We are all led because we're all part of the body. We're led together. And when we pray and God gives us something, then we ask confirmation and we pray with each other and we say, would you pray with me about this? God showed me this. Would you help me and pray with me for confirmation so that we know it's of God? And so these assignments have been given to do ceremonies to welcome ahead of time the King of Glory, who is Jesus Christ, in very strategic places. This has been done in Jerusalem. It's been done in several places in California. It's been done in Arizona. There's been a Welcome the King of Glory event in Arizona. And you know what? You don't hear about it on Joel Osteen. This is not high profile. This is not about making money and building big mega churches. This is not about mammon. This is not about glorifying people. This is about the Lord, the King, Jesus Christ. And it's about his humble servants, the body of Christ, those who are called to the events to do these things, to herald in his coming. And when we do a Welcome the King of Glory event in a place, the Lord Jesus Christ shows up there because it's symbolic of when he will come for his second coming. And it's like preparing the way, like John the Baptist prepared the way for the first coming of Jesus. And we are actually doing this as just a worship, a sacrifice of worship to him. And after these things happen, then God himself does mighty acts of spiritual warfare in these places. Generally, they're kind of areas of stronghold. Well, we know that Colorado is an area of stronghold in many ways for the enemy. So this is very significant that we've had this event. So how does it work? Dave, you said you wanted to hear all about the events. All right. So we bring people in ahead of time. We gather together. We have many prayer meetings. We consecrate ourselves. We ask forgiveness. We ask the Lord to make our hearts ready. Because if you're not ready to go before the presence of God, you can actually just be struck dead in his presence. And this is a solemn ceremony. So those who are called to this event came together ahead of time. And I just lost my internet feed. So Dave, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
All right. You might have to watch the board for me if we get callers on that through Verto, please. So anyway, we all come in early. We assembled in Northern Colorado in two different places. And some of these things were kept close to the vest because there is an enemy. If there's a God, then there's an enemy. And the enemy knows he's threatened. He knows his time is short. And he's trying to steal and deceive as many souls as he can before the King of Glory comes back. So we weren't going to just broadcast out, well, where are we meeting and what time and what address? We felt that this was wisdom. So we told about what it is in concept and what the Lord has done, but we didn't give all these details. So we had two gathering places. People came from all over the nation, from end to end of the nation, from California all the way to Florida. Came in, and our very small core team had eight people. Eight is a great number. It means new beginnings in God's nomenclature, or whatever you would call it. Numbers have significance in God's kingdom. The number three, of course, the Trinity, things like that. But if we had seven, that has a special meaning as well. But eight stands for new beginnings. This is a new beginning for Colorado, I believe, in the spiritual realm. So we come together on Thursday, and all two houses are being used for lodging. Then we all come together in one house. We have fellowship. Well, the first thing that happened that night, the pastor leads everything, and he has themes for each gathering. And he was going over the suffering of Christ in the first night. And guess what? Some of our dear brothers and sisters who are called to this assignment and who are in the body of Christ in Colorado, they have a very tragic and difficult trial they're walking through. They're a Samoan family, but they're Americans. And the mother in this family of father, mother, children, and grandchildren has cancer. She's been told she does not, there's nothing that they believe that the doctors believe they could do to save her life. So they believe she will die from cancer. She was suffering terribly on this Thursday night, and she was in so much pain. She couldn't do anything, and she was just crying. So they wanted to be up here in Northern Colorado, but because of her illness, they couldn't be with us in person. But they called us on the phone during our service, and we had just this most beautiful time of prayer and like connecting with them and sharing in her suffering. And then the Lord revealed, of course, you know, he shares in our sufferings, and he suffered for us. And that's very symbolic and important. And as we prayed, it was just a beautiful time. And the Lord really worked to reduce the suffering of our sister. And then the revelation was given to the leader, our pastor, and he is a pastor. We all have pastors in our own local congregations, but this man is a prophet of God, and we call him pastor. And he said to her husband, he said, I feel that the Lord wants you to go to every room in the house and anoint that room with oil, because they had been under spiritual attack in addition to this pain. And so we prayed together. We cried together. We asked the Lord to help us to all receive a part of her pain so she wouldn't have to bear it all in her own body. And they did what he suggested after we hung up. And the pastor just said, the Father carries the pain of the Son. And heals the Son. So God the Father, you know, allowed his own Son to be sacrificed for the sins of mankind. And you know, those demons that fell out of fellowship with God and rebelled in heaven, once they rebelled, a third of them left heaven. They had no hope, no ability to be redeemed. There is no way made for them to be redeemed. And they are jealous of us, because God said, but I'm going to redeem man when we fell, when we had that original sin in the Garden of Eden. And so all these beautiful, mysterious things of the gospel have been, you know, happening, and object lessons given. And we did these things, and her husband anointed their house. He is actually a high chief in his country of Samoa, and yet he is a humble servant of the Lord Jesus Christ as well. Paradoxes, you know, of the different things. So we did that on Thursday night and had our communion together. And then on Friday, we took a day of rest. We did not go out to do any spiritual warfare type assignments or on-site prayers. We stayed home and praying and gathering together, fellowshipping to get ready for the parts where we would go out. And our one of our big assignments was to Pike's Peak. So I'll tell you about what happened with Pike's Peak and the rest when we come back on Brain Cleavage with Kara and my friends David and Lori. Be back in 3 minutes. Don't go away. Yeah, we love freedom. You know, you don't have freedom unless you have Jesus Christ. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have freedom, because you're in bondage. You're in bondage to the enemy of our souls, the one who's taken all those. Go ahead and cut that right out of there, Jack. Thank you. Anyway, so if you don't have freedom in Christ, you're in bondage to the enemy, who wants to deceive you, take you to hell with him and his angels, because they don't have any hope. They don't have any opportunity to be redeemed. It was not extended to them. I can't answer why, but it wasn't. But to us, every man, woman, child, it is extended to us by the gracious grace of God, Lord Jesus Christ. So we're in this battle of the ages. Jesus said 2,000 years ago, or approximately, he would be back. He's coming back in glory next time. He went away in meekness last time, although he had this great victory, of course, over sin and death. But he walked meekly among us when he was walking on the earth. And when he comes again, he's coming in glory. All right, so we took the time on Friday to prepare, to pray, to be centered and focused. Because you know what? We're all a bunch of human beings. We didn't know all of the details of what would happen. And it's an amazing testimony of all the things God did during these 4 days. And we didn't know from 1 minute to the next for sure what was going to happen. I didn't even know for sure when Pastor and Maureen would be to my home in northern Colorado. God kept doing these things and changing things. We knew that the Welcome the King of Glory ceremony would happen in Colorado Springs. God had revealed that, but we did not know where. All right, now get this. We don't know if we're supposed to go to a particular church that will open its doors and extend their fellowship to us. We don't know if there's a specific place outside. We don't even know how many people are coming, who will be called to come to the Welcome the King of Glory event. The invitation went out to the network all over the nation and internationally. So I knew, as the person who coordinated this, who felt originally God's calling us to do this here, I didn't know all the details, but I felt responsible for much of the planning, because I'm the host, the hostess. And, but when it came to them saying, we're going to do the main event in Colorado Springs, I at first felt a burden. Like, am I supposed to make contact with people there? Am I supposed to try to arrange a place? And I just, as I prayed about it, I'm like, I know I can't. I just don't feel that that's my job. I'm not supposed to do it. And then, so what happened was Pastor drove his car all the way from California, and he'll be going other places from here. And Maureen flew. So he got in like on a Monday before the Thursday. Maureen flew in on a Wednesday, and I thought they were coming to my house much sooner. They ended up staying in Colorado Springs because they were the spies. You know how they were the spies in the days of Moses? Yeah. So they were supposed to spy in the land. And they said that there was this tremendous spiritual oppression when both of them felt it when they got to Colorado Springs. So much evil in Colorado Springs. Well, it was actually a town that was founded by a godly man, but, you know, the devil kind of attacks where God is flourishing because that's the devil's nature. And so there have been a lot of demonic things that have happened over Colorado Springs as well, including over the church and the parachurch organizations. There's been infighting. There's been backbiting. There's been competition. Those things are of the devil. And the reason that I even brought this up was because through this assignment, God, one of the things he does a macro and micro work. He showed all of us who are just servants how our flesh gets in the way. But even though it gets in the way and sometimes we might snap at each other or we might have a misunderstanding, it does not matter because we don't trust in ourselves. We trust in God, and he covers our flaws. His grace is sufficient for us. And in all of our flaws and all of our not knowing what to do to put this together, he was at work in every detail. So he brings Maureen and Pastor Yuan to Colorado Springs. Pastor Yuan has a horrible sleepless night the first night there. He cannot sleep. He had a vision or a dream of the principality over Colorado Springs, and he believes over all of Colorado and even further, but specifically dedicated to Colorado. And he saw it on the top of Pikes Peak. We knew we had been called to Pikes Peak before even this point, but the Lord revealed, you know, this evil entity that resides physically and has an assignment on Pikes Peak. So then when Maureen joins him, they're praying, they're dealing with this spiritual oppression, and they're going around and they're talking to church leaders. They have a large network there of people they know, but even their friends who are international church leaders and network Christian friends did not have an open door for them for the Welcome the King of Glory event. It was not an open door. Part of it is because of COVID. COVID is being used by evil spirits. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities. The rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places, that spiritual wickedness is at work in this COVID thing, shutting down everything, putting fear in everyone's heart. Well, you can't come here because we can't have too many people here. Everyone would have to wear a mask. We have to have so much distance between everyone. We want to be in liberty with our Lord Jesus Christ and in as a body. We do not want the rules and the oppression of man to be in this event, and we are not going to submit to that. So they're walking it out. They're searching the land, and one of their advisors, their spiritual advisor, said, I feel that you should go to Glen Eyrie. And he had a contact there. So they went to Glen Eyrie and found that it was this beautiful, peaceful place. They felt led there. They felt this confirmation that this is the place they're supposed to be. But still, the door was not open yet. Glen Eyrie has been threatened and harassed and given all of the signage like every other organization and business in the whole state. They've been told everyone has to wear masks and all of these things. What ended up happening was God just opened doors and spoke to the heart of the person that they were interfacing with. And because God's grace was there, and this person just knew that this was bigger than people, bigger than organizations, bigger than personalities, but it's humble people just wanting to obey the Lord and what he is telling us to do. He said, I think we can make something work. And he said, we have a place here that's outside, and it's called Rosa's Bench Garden. It's a place where people get married. That's a lot of what happens at that place. And he said, nice. Yeah, I believe that you could have your event here. So then Pastor and Maureen said, we would like to, I think they had already made reservations there for themselves. Then they invited the rest of the team who had been staying in Northern Colorado to make reservations also for Saturday night. So that's what we did. And then on Saturday morning, so they, you know, had done this work in Colorado Springs, gotten permission from this person at Glen Eerie to have this event outside. And then they came up to Northern Colorado. We did the work on Thursday night, all day Friday. Friday night, we stayed in Northern Colorado. Then on Saturday morning, we came to to Colorado Springs all together. And what we did to start, that was our day to go do the assignment at Pike's Peak. First thing we did is we went to the home of the Samoan family where the wife has cancer. The grandma and mom has cancer. And we had communion with them, with their whole family, with our team. And then we had foot washing, and it was so beautiful. And then from there, we went up to Pike's Peak, and that's another adventure I'll tell you more about when we come back from the break. This is Kara with Brain Cleavage, and my guests, Dave and Lori. We'll be right back.
We don't need no thought control.
No, we do not need any thought control, that's for sure. This is Kara, and welcome back to Brain Cleavage. We've been talking about the King of Glory, and that brought to mind the contrast between the King of Glory and our ability, the free gift extended to us of salvation, and then the second coming of Christ, where he will take us to the marriage supper, and we will reign with him forever and ever after that time. And I'm leaving out bunches of details, but anyway, the devil has not got that privilege. So he's obviously at work overtime trying to take people with him to hell, because he just, you know that old saying, right, Dave, right, Lori? Misery yes. loves company, right? Right? Yeah. So that's what happens. And he works through deception. So Lori, say something, because I just sense you had a thought there.
Oh, well, it made me think of the Bob Dylan song, You Gotta Serve Somebody.
Oh, that's a good one too. And this is interesting because we talked earlier about how the Lord sees our flaws. He knows we're imperfect. Whether we're still sinners or whether we've come to him, we still have the flesh to deal with. We yes. still have this human body. And sometimes, you know, it doesn't do what we want it to do. And sometimes we, you know, we're just not as pure or holy as we want to be. But God, we can only be pure and only be holy through the grace of Jesus Christ. It's never in our own strength and power anyway.
True that.
Yeah. So God uses all of these things. And I was telling a story about what our trip to Pike's Peak, that was part of the assignment associated with the Welcome the King of Glory. So we do the foot washing and the communion with this beautiful Samoan family. Oh my gosh. Beautiful, beautiful people. And then nine of us were appointed, were called, whatever you want to say, to go to Pike's Peak, to the summit. And you know, the enemy, he tried to attack us in many ways over these days and weeks leading up to these days. He tried to derail his plans. He tried to cause confusion. He tried to, you know, cause us to murmur, whatever. You know, people in the wilderness murmured when Moses was leading them out. They could have been there in like 2 weeks, but instead it took 40 years. But praise God, they got there, you know.
Right.
God is good, and he alone is good. You can't be good without God. So we take off to go on the mountain. We have three cars. We have one car. It's a sedan with three people in it at the front. We have two SUVs following. They each have three people in them. So three, three, and three.
Yep.
We did not think about that. It's not significant. But anyway, so we go to Pike's Peak. We knew that they...
Are you sure?
I am now. Yes. I mean, I no, I'm just pretty sure, because normally we're pretty cognizant of numbers and their symbolism. And nobody said anything about that. So I don't think... But maybe there was something about it that we don't know. Anyway, so we go to Pike's Peak. We knew that there were COVID regulations and oppressions there over that. But we went on faith. We also knew from reading the website that if you have a disability, they will not make you take the shuttle from the parking lot up to the summit. So we were all just praying, and some of the people in our group do have some disabilities. We had a woman with asthma. We had a woman with a pacemaker. So we could honestly say, yes, we have disabilities. And, so we're in these three cars. We start ascending the mountain, and we were told strictly by the pastor, when you leave Fort Collins on Saturday morning And especially when we leave Colorado Springs,
yes,
even more intense. You are not to talk about anything that's trivial. You're not to talk about any, you know, just personal stuff. You're supposed to just completely be in worship and focused on Jesus Christ and praise and speaking in tongues and only those things. It was very strict instruction. Yes. So we did all of those things. Mm-hmm. We got gas out and then we headed up to the mountain. We stopped one time to go to the bathroom and then we're up on the mountain pass and we get to that parking lot where the shuttles run. But before we got there, we had to go through the gate where you pay. You have to pay to get into the park. And so Pastor's car was first. He was already up going through the gate. Roxy was the next car, and I was behind her. But I see this hand come out the window before we get up to the gate. We're in line to go to the gate, and it's waving us around. So I pull out and I go around, and as I'm going around, I then we could tell because they were kind of giving us sign language, yeah, like something was wrong with their car. So we went to the gate and we told the person at the gate, something's wrong with their car. And if we need to, can we pay and then go park and then walk back to get them if their car won't work? And they said, sure. In fact, you can save money. If you pay for everybody, how many are in each car? And we told her, three in each car. So if you have six, you can pay only $60 instead of two cars, $45 each. So we paid and then we parked, we went back and Roxy said, this car is 2 years old. I've never had it break down ever. It's got new tires. Nothing's wrong with this car, but it just stopped all of a sudden.
Yep.
It would not go.
It did.
So after we got through the gate and paid, she was able to get her car into a parking place and we rearranged things in each car, put luggage and stuff in different places. And all six of us got in that car and we went on up the mountain. And by this time we're separated from the first car. So when we got to the parking lot where the shuttles run, they said to us, the woman, said, and she had a mask on. She's outside. She said, do you have a mask? And I said, nope, we don't have masks. And, I just felt very much authority and like, no, yes, I don't wear a mask. And then she said, do any of you have disabilities? And I said, yes, some of us do. And she said, go on ahead. So we went ahead. But the first car we found out later, what they were given more, it just depends on who's at the gate, you know, yes, the gatekeeper. Mm-hmm. They were given a lot more questions. They had to go through more than we did, but they were waved through. So then we get up to the very top of the mountain. Then we finally get to the parking lot. We see the pastor's car. We knew they made it, and then all of us got out, and right now there's a bunch of construction at the top of Pikes Peak, and they've got a bunch of it that is a fence that's all around. It's blocked off. Where they're doing construction is fenced off. So the part that is left where you can walk on the summit, it's not very big. It's pretty narrow and it's very steep on the edge. So it's pretty dangerous. I would recommend anybody that wants to go to Pikes Peak, especially if you have anybody who could be affected by the altitude or children, pray first and be very, very careful because these are all loose rocks and it's a slope and then it just goes off a cliff.
Yes,
so literally, as we get there, then we're walking as a group, the six of us, but we were excited because we had been separated from our team. So the gal who was in the lead, she's young and healthy and strong, and she kind of got in a hurry. I saw her taking off ahead of the rest, and then Lori was at the back, but Lori was having lightheadedness. So she wasn't able to keep up, and I could see that our group was getting separated, and there was something the Lord told me to not let the group get separated from each other. So I felt this need to protect the group. And I'll tell a little bit more about that, what we did on Pikes Peak, and then we'll go into the Welcome the King of Glory ceremony, which took place the next day. You'll see how God brought all the details together. So interesting. We'll be right back.
Amazing.
Yes. Freedom again. It's all about freedom, folks. You have no freedom unless you are in Christ Jesus. And it's totally a paradox because you give up your life to get it. He gave up his life to save all of us. And it's so beautiful. We think we have life and we think we have freedom and liberty to rebel and to protest and to take what we want by rejecting God. But when we do those things, we're truly in bondage to the enemy's system. And we don't have that liberty in our souls. And so we're just so grateful and thankful that the Lord is our rock and our Redeemer. And so when we went to the break, we had gone up to the summit of Pikes Peak. The Lord took us up there, some of people disabled and going on faith, basically, that they could be okay at that altitude. And then it was very treacherous. There's not a lot of room to walk around. The rocks are, there's lots of small rocks, and they're just heaped on top of each other as if it was a volcano or something originally. So I felt that the team was being separated and that there could be danger. I mean, there was obviously danger all around. Plus, we know we're on an assignment that is a spiritual warfare kind of assignment. And so I asked Tommy, who's one of the people in the second group, the six. I said, Tommy, please run up ahead or yell up ahead and ask Robin to stop and come back. I'm going to go get Lori. So then I went back and I got where Lori was. And Lori was, she was oppressed. I mean, physically, she was having trouble. She was having trouble breathing. She felt lightheaded. And she was also being attacked in, I think emotionally somewhat too. It was a spiritual attack because she was feeling like she was being reprimanded when I went back to get her, and I wasn't. See, so that's how the devil tries. He always tries to derail, and he tries in his ways to defeat us. That's why I feel this is one of the major lessons of this assignment for to share with others, is to not be discouraged when the devil brings an attack into your life, because no matter what the attack is, no matter how bad you feel about what happens, God is always greater than that attack. And with God, there is no condemnation. So you simply direct your heart to him and ask him to help. You say, I'm being attacked. My sister just thinks I just attacked her, but I really didn't mean that. Just right. Instead, we get pulled in. The devil wants to pull us into the condemnation part or the difficulty part. But the Lord, the Savior, is always there to do the redeeming part, and he has to do it, but we submit to him. So the Lord brought all these six people back together again. We then, as we look out over this whole area of loose rocks, we see our pastor, because we know what he looks like. He was standing. We saw the color shirt he had on, and I spotted him, and he spotted us. And then we were all safe in a group together. And then at that time, he takes these silver trumpets when we do these protocols. They have symbolic meaning. They have meaning from the book of Numbers. If you have time, look up Numbers 10 and then read all verses 1 through 10. Blowing silver trumpets the way you blow them and everything. It means something. So then we heard the two trumpets that were over there. I think he was only blowing one of them because the other person who blows was with us. Yes. So he blew one of those trumpets. And then I heard him praying. He blew it twice. And then I heard him praying, and people around him, because we were walking toward him as we were hearing him blow the trumpet, and I heard him praying. And there were Christians that were there at that time who were worshiping, who were not aware that this would be going on, but they were there for a reason, I'm sure. And people were being blessed, but I felt like, oh no, he started without us. Well, come to find out later that when you blow the trumpet the first time, it's to bring the congregation together. It's to signal to them to bring the troops. They hear the trumpets and then they come together. So we came in safety because we were all together. And when he got there first, he was able to scout out the land with the other two, and he found an area where there were some flat rocks, and it was sort of in a circle. So we could all be together for this thing to happen.
Yes.
And we've got two more segments left for me to finish telling the story about Welcome the King of Glory in Colorado. Woohoo! We'll be back in a few moments. Nice.
When I walk by your side, I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. surrounded by your glory. What will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine.
So we're up on the mountain. We're up on Pike's Peak. And we're just now, the trumpet has been blown. We're brought to attention. We're gathered in, signifying, you know, it alerted us where that we were to come. We go, we each find a place on the flat rocks that the pastor has found for us. And then we have this teaching. He gives a teaching right there in the midst of the rocks. And one of the people that came with us up the mountain from days before had asked if he could provide a meal for us. And so he was responsible for, he took it upon himself to buy all this food and haul it up in, you know, coolers. And he had just this feast prepared. And we knew we would be having a feast because the pastor said, we're going to have a teaching. We're going to have prayer. We're going to have a ceremony on top of this mountain where a principality has been assigned. And we're going to just welcome the King of Glory there. And then we're going to have a feast or a meal. And it's based on Psalm 23. He preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He anointeth my head with oil, my cup overfloweth. So we have already done the ceremony. We've declared that Christ is King, and that we're just heralding in his coming glory for whenever that happens. And then we have this feast prepared for us by this humble servant. And it's beautiful because the pastor said that when the Lord prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemies, all of the other spiritual entities, whether they be angels of God or angels of the enemy, they have to stand at attention while we eat. And we're the honored guests that the Lord has provided for. So we had this glorious meal on the top of Pike's Peak after we had this ceremony. And there was more trumpet blowing as part of the ceremony. And at one point they were blowing two trumpets. They were silver long trumpets, and we blew shofars too. But at one point the pastor was blowing one of the silver trumpets, and he lifted his trumpet up vertically straight to the sky and was blowing it straight up. And this is not a lie, guys. We have the picture to prove it. Directly above him, up in the sky, was an eagle.
Mm-hmm.
Right above his trumpet. And he said that eagle hovered over his trumpet for quite a few seconds. And then one of our other sisters, she just happened to have her camera, her phone out. She was taking pictures. She got a photograph of that eagle. So maybe we can get that on Facebook.
Well, that's awesome.
It was amazing. So
yeah, often, I like to see that. That's awesome.
Yeah, I'll make sure you do. Often in these assignments, when God tells us to go do a welcome the King of Glory, at the end of these ceremonies, an eagle does appear. Because yep. The eagle, it represents the majesty and authority of God. You know, think about it. It's the symbol of our nation. It's yes. A symbol of authority. But whose authority is ultimately the most powerful? Well, obviously, it's God the Father. And so yeah. It's so exciting. So anyway, we have a caller. And I haven't even told about the next day, the Welcome the King of Glory at Glen Eyrie in the Rose Garden. Okay, I'll tell one quick thing about that, and then I want to introduce Roxy to say something. We were assigned to the garden where a lot of marriages happen. Well, who is the body of Christ? The body of Christ, the people who believe in Jesus Christ and accepted him as their Savior, They are his bride.
Yes.
This is why marriage is sacred. This is why the enemy, the devil, tries to redefine marriage and change its meaning in the world. Because right. It's a sacred thing. God created it, and it's a metaphor for his relationship with his church. He is the head. He is the groom, the bridegroom. We are his bride, and we will have a marriage supper with him when he comes back to get us, the church. It'll be a glorious, beautiful thing, and then we reign with him forever and eternity. So, I'm going to now introduce Roxy, and I'm going to unmute her. And Roxy, you just feel free to share whatever you would like. You're on.
Good morning. Thank you so much, Kara. You summed it up really well. I think the thing that stood out to me the most, you talked about the microcosm and the macrocosm, was all of the things that happen, showing us the battle that had been raging in the spirit realm, which sometimes we go about oblivious to, we're unaware of it. But it was very obvious. And it became even more obvious when we all came together and talked about it. And we heard about their thoughts and feelings as they drove up the mountain, not knowing where we were and why we'd been delayed for so long. And just all the things coming together, just the beauty of how the Lord takes care of us, that he's got angels surrounding us to take care of us.
Amen.
I don't think you mentioned coming down yet, did you?
No. Nope.
Can I talk about that one?
Go ahead.
Okay, so we were coming down, and Pastor Yuan emphasized that we stick together, since he had lost us on the way up. And so we were coming down, and we were just praising the Lord and excited. And he pulled over at one point and said he just felt led to pull over to help everybody kind of decompress and get out of the cars. When we got out of your car, Kara, it smelled horribly.
Yeah,
it was so hot.
The brakes.
And our guest and Pastor Yuan reached out toward the wheels and could not even put their hands near the wheels. The brakes were so close to just absolutely burning out. And he had been told to stop, we know, to protect us. Those of us in that following car. Because had they burned out, it would have not been pretty.
No,
not pretty at all.
Those things happen continuously. Even the accident that we avoided on the way down, a 5-car pileup.
Yes.
That was 2 miles ahead of us and stopped us for an hour.
Yep.
Delayed our trip down to Colorado Springs.
Yes, it did. We would have been on the road earlier.
That constantly. Yes. We were supposed to be on the road earlier. Didn't happen.
Roxy, stay on the line with us. We have another guest coming on after the break, but we're gonna indulge ourselves to finish up before I go to him. So stay with us. We'll be right back, folks.
Song I wrote, you might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy.
Indeed, be happy. That's kind of the message today. The enemy is out there. He's doing his dirty work, but he's so weak. He's only strong when he can convince us that he is, and that's just a deception. So whatever you're facing today, friend out there listening to this program, wherever you are being challenged or attacked, just know that there's someone far greater who loves you. Maybe you're already a believer, but maybe you're not a believer. Maybe you're in the occult. Jesus is greater than the enemy. The enemy is just full of deceit, and if he can convince people that they should be afraid or that they're condemned or that they're in shame, then that's where the power is. Even with COVID, he's got people in fear, and we have liberty over that fear.
Yes.
And so we proclaim that today. Now, we were just hearing from two of the people besides myself who were involved in the Welcome the King of Glory. We had a fantastic event in the Rosa Bench Garden at Glen Eyrie. There were 20 people called to that event. One of them was a 5-year-old child who was just meant to be there. And we signed a proclamation This is the proclamation of the welcoming the King of Glory into Colorado, and I want to read it on the airwaves. So that's why I wanted Roxy to stay and my dear sister Lori as well. This is what 20 people who are called, you know, God's children in the Church of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ, proclaimed over our state on Sunday. Welcoming the King of Glory into Colorado, out of the USA, trumpet call to a holy convocation in Colorado Springs, Colorado, USA, we, the sons and daughters of God and servants of the Most High, representing our 50 states and territories, make this declaration on behalf of our nation. We proclaim that there is only one true Almighty God, who is creator of all, life-giver, sustainer, authority, and commander-in-chief of the heavenly host. We believe in God the Father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We believe in our Lord Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Messiah, Savior, and King. We believe in the Holy Spirit, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. We declare that we are one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. We cancel any plan or scheme of the enemy to delude, ensnare, or divide our people in any part of this nation. We cast down any plot or proposal of man to supplant or undermine God-given authority, which protects our liberty and administers justice. We renounce and annul all covenants made with darkness from the time of our inception throughout our birthing process and the 244 years of our existence. We therefore nullify, cancel, and reject any such agreements or associations with any proud thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. We renounce replacement theology and honor the nation of Israel, the first recipient of God's promise. We purpose to be reconciled to one another and to share in God's covenant promises. Fully submitted to Almighty God, we purpose to live and walk together in light, occupying and holding our ground as we stand firm in the power of the Holy Spirit. Led by the Holy Spirit of God, on this day, August 23rd, 2020, and there were 20 people at this ceremony. Exactly. We, the body of Christ, residents of Colorado and the United States of America, positioned as priests and gatekeepers of our nation, do ordain and confirm the holy covenant between the United States of America and the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, foundational to our nation's conception and birth. We joyfully renew our marriage vows with our Lord Jesus Christ, and together with the Spirit, we, his bride, say, Come, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. We further declare that Colorado is a covenant state and that her people dwell securely in the freedom that comes from being in right relationship with Almighty God. We declare that Colorado is holy unto the Lord and call forth the true unity necessary for the kingdom of God to manifest in our midst. We affirm God's universal sovereignty and declare our joyful and willing submission to his will, his word, his plans, purposes, and desires. From this day forward, let faith increase, hope be restored, and the fire of love be released across this nation as we move in his power and authority to displace all that is profane or unholy and in their places erect altars of holiness in a demonstration of the deep forgiveness and restorative power of our holy God. And we thank our God and Father for his divine mercy to this nation. We resolve to remain in his presence from this day forward, to honor him among all else in our lives, and to do only that which is pleasing in his sight. On this glorious day, we proclaim victory in a new season for our nation, a time of renewed hope and joy, when the revelation of the nature of the mature sons of God the Father, who as a royal priesthood in the order of Melchizedek will extend the fullness of the word of God and his kingdom throughout the nations of the earth. As citizens of the United States of America, we welcome our Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the King of Glory, into Colorado, submitting to his reign as the sovereign ruler of our nation. All glory be to God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Isn't that beautiful?
Amen.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Oh, thank you all so much.
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me, I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, to my knees or will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. When that day comes, when I find myself standing inside, I can only imagine when all I will do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine. I can only imagine.